In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
And welcome inside. It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. We are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and air conditioning solutions, right? That's what they are. We love Smiley One and Bryant. Daryl, I got a hangover. I got a Vegas hangover already. I don't know how they're going to cure it. I don't know what they're going to take. There's not enough aspirin, Red Bull. I don't know what you do to get rid of this hangover. I just sleep it off. Wake me up next Sunday when they get back out on the field and try to have a chance to get to 2-3. Daryl, again, they start off strong. Again, they have another shot to win at the end of the game. They can't put four quarters together. They got a big defensive scoop and score. There are times when this offense looks great, like the first drive of the game. Great. I mean, seven different receivers, 8 for 8 for Deshaun Watson. And then when push comes to shove at the end, they can't pull off the victory. And I'm going to be honest, Daryl, I can't kill Deshaun Watson on this loss. He did some good things.
Yeah, this loss was not on Deshaun. This loss wasn't on the defense either. And I know that there were missed tackles. There were some missed opportunities on that side of the ball too. But you give up 20 points and you still lose. Your offense isn't good enough. And once again, it's right up there with, we got to coach better, right? Is the quarterback after the game talking about how the offense isn't on the same page. I've had it up to here with not being on the same page. If I hear that one more time, I'm going to throw something, because there's no excuse for not being on the same page. Why are you not on the same page? Coaching. Okay. Coaching.
Wait, did they say that? That's what you're saying.
No, that's what Deshaun Watson said, that they're not.
I didn't, because I didn't hear the post from him. So what did Deshaun say exactly?
What I just got done explaining, that they're not on the same page.
Yeah, I thought there was more to it. Okay.
Which is what he said last week. And he said the week before, like, this is the broken record this year. They're not on the same page offensively. That's a problem. The run game, sporadic. There's no explosives in this offense whatsoever. Jerome Ford's 35-yard run that set up that potential red zone possession, that was just the 10th play to go for 20 or more yards for the Browns through four games, okay? Mm. They have zero plays of 40 or more yards. Well, the one play that they did get got, called back because of a penalty, and that's ultimately where this loss falls. And I wrote this after the game, whether it's Amari Cooper having a football bounce off of him, go for an interception, and the Raiders score a touchdown on that possession. You got missed blocking assignments where finally someone decided to chew Dewan Jones's ass out for just being asleep at the wheel, like he's been for most of the first four games of the season. Dustin Hopkins missing an extra point. Nick Harris, the holding penalty, wiped out what would have been redemption for Amari Cooper, 82-yard touchdown.
That's a 92-yard penalty when it's all said and done.
Harris snapping the ball too early. Deshaun Watson's trying to realign the backfield with Jerome Ford and all that. Ball gets snapped, 5-yard loss, right? Just little things like that just constantly kill you. And again, second time in 2 weeks, the Browns defense gave the Browns offense multiple offensive possessions to go down and win a football game, and the offense didn't get it done. And to your point, not all Deshaun Watson's fault. I think he's doing the best he can do right now. Certainly he did Sunday in Vegas with how he played. He would have thrown for 265 yards if that touchdown to Cooper was held up. So, this isn't on Deshaun. This is on the offensive line being craptastic. This is on Amari Cooper. I don't know what's wrong with him, but he's broken right now a little bit, and he's really broken after getting that, big touchdown play taken off the board. They're in bad shape right now at 1-3. And by the way, Andy, this was the easy part of the schedule, just so you know.
I know.
It gets worse from here.
So let me ask you this. And I said this earlier in the week, if you're Kevin Stefanski and you keep saying, this is on me, this is on us, this is on us, eventually that's going to turn on you, and it is going to be on you, and it's going to end up costing your job. And if Deshaun Watson's calling out the head coach and saying that,
again, well, he didn't call out the head coach. He just keeps talking about needing to be on the same page.
So, but isn't that the same? I mean, look, if your quarterback's saying that you're not on the same page as the person that's calling the plays, that's calling out your coach. Yes or no?
Yeah, I guess.
If you're the Browns, are you going to turn around and say, well, we're going to stay with a $230 million man or the $3.5 million man? Because let's face it, your defensive coordinator, he's been a head coach before. Mike Vrabel's hanging around. I'm not saying fire Kevin Stefanski by any means, but they better figure this thing out quick. They put a lot of money into this roster. The talent is there. Can ownership kind of look at this and go, okay, I understand the offensive line is a complete mess, and we're willing to wait it out. And they actually have been patient, more patient than we've seen in a long time, with trying to have a head coach that can, you know, try to lead this team into the future. But fact of the matter is Kevin not getting the job done? Because, I mean, he's the one that keeps saying, it's on me.
These are my words.
These are his. We've got to coach better.
It's his assistants. Okay. I think Andy Dickerson
already fired both staffs.
Well,
in his tenure here.
I think Andy Dickerson sucks as an offensive line coach. I don't think he's very good. And the offensive line looks like crap every week.
So what happens?
You can't do it. You're stuck, Andy. You're stuck. You got to ride it out. And you got to make changes in the offseason. DeJuan Jones went from looking like an all-pro caliber player to now he just looks like a fat guy stuck in concrete on plays. That's just the reality, right? So
he does not look good.
No, he's been terrible. And by the way, I was trying to tell you guys, he looks terrible in the preseason. And, Ken Carman chastised me for saying that, because he was coming off a knee injury. Well, he looks like crap. Don't know what to tell you. Knee injury or no knee injury. He's terrible. Can't handle pressure. And teams have figured out. And then you got the middle of the line, right? Nick Harris comes in because Ethan Posick now is hurt. Right. So Nick Harris comes in and, they're just coming right up the middle on him. It's basically you hit the Browns from the right side because you got Nick Harris, you got Zach Zinter, and you got DeJuan Jones. If you play the numbers game on that side, okay, because there have been some plays that DeJuan Jones has looked great when he's been in one-on-one pass protection. But there's just way too many Olay plays for me. I can't, right? And if you can't get it done, you need to get somebody out there that can. It's that simple. Andrew Berry, go sign someone. Go bring somebody in. You just signed from the practice squad. Put his ass out there. Put somebody, anybody out there. Run six-man offensive lines if you have to. Put a tight end next to DeJuan Jones every snap. Like, why aren't you doing these things? Help the guy out. If he's playing on a bad wheel, right? So, this doesn't become all about DeJuan. Like, if he's playing on a bad wheel, if he's legit hurt, then why aren't you helping him as a coach schematically? Why are you putting him out there on two-on-one situations all the time, right? And you want to talk about the offensive line? No push whatsoever from that offensive line. We saw that again Sunday. There is no push from this line anymore. The dominance is over. Injuries or no injuries, the dominance is over. Andy Dickerson sucks, and he'll be fired in the offseason, hopefully. Like,
you don't think they'll fire anybody in season?
No. No. You can't fire anyone in season.
Why not? We see it happen all the time. People get fired all the time.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that. I just don't. But like where they excelled under Bill Callahan, they are failing miserably now in every aspect. Hmm. And these linemen aren't prepared. They're not prepared. Let me ask you, Andy. Does this offensive line look like it's prepared to play the sport of football at the NFL level every Sunday? Yes or no?
No.
I rest my case.
So what are you going to do? You could fire Andy Dickerson if you want to do this early on. I mean, look, something has to change. Something has to change. And when your head coach keeps saying, it's on us, it's on me, we'll have to coach better, we'll have to do that, people are tired of it.
Yeah.
They're tired of it, and eventually that costs your job.
This is your contention window here. You're supposed to be winning football games here, right? They're by the way, 14% chance to make the playoffs now at 1-3. In case you're wondering what those odds are.
I'm not worried about the playoffs right now. The only playoffs I'm worried about is the Guardians.
Yeah, well, you're not even going to have to worry about it. As Jason Lloyd posted on X today, the draft is 207 days away. We are so back. We had Pro Football Focus earlier this week posting about should the Browns draft a quarterback, and then we got Jason Lloyd posting about the NFL draft being like 205 days away or whatever it is. Like, we're so back. We are so back. Vintage Browns foot, 207 days. I had to double check. I misquoted our guy Jason. It's 207 days away.
And you're also saying this based on the schedule looking ahead, as I am.
Okay, so Washington Commanders, that's a loss.
They put 44 on the board today, didn't they?
That's a loss. Yeah, this team can't score 18 points. So, yeah, that's a loss. Then you got the Philadelphia Eagles, who are just better coached. That's going to be a loss. So now you lose the next two, and you are now 1-5. And your season's really over. Then you've got Cincinnati, Baltimore, and the Chargers before you go into your bye week. I know New Orleans lost on a last-second field goal to the Falcons, but New Orleans with Derek Carr, quarterback, much better team than myself included. A lot of people gave them credit for, right? Maybe the NFL will mercifully take the Browns off of national TV down the stretch. You've got the Steelers on Thursday night. You've got the Broncos Monday night. Back in Pittsburgh, you got the Chiefs. That'll probably be a slaughter. The Bengals on Thursday night, the Dolphins, and then you finish up with the Ravens. Like, they're staring down the barrel of 6-11 easy. Like, with them playing the way they are. Now, the good news is they got some guys coming back. David Njoku, hopefully coming back. Nick Chubb, his practice window, his 21-day practice window is going to open this week, so hopefully he can come back and help out. But if you're thinking that Nick Chubb's coming out to save the season, you are going to be sadly mistaken. Because
no, I don't think they're going to play. I mean, well, I don't think Kevin's even going to play him half the time. I mean, especially in important situations because he hasn't before. Let me give you some of the important numbers that I'm going to hear about all week. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, sure. Fire.
Oh, let me give you the important numbers. 30 of 47, 347 yards. Two touchdowns. That is Exhibit A. Exhibit B for you playing at home. 16 of 2,668 yards. Two touchdowns. That is Exhibit B, and his name is Joe Flacco. Exhibit A, Baker Mayfield. That is what I'm going to hear about all week. Baker Mayfield. The Bucs are 3-1.
We were never getting that version of Baker Mayfield here. Baker is...
We never had a chance to find out.
Well,
because we had two ego guys going at it over where... And he was just as egotistical as ownership was on that.
Baker is a guy that is at his best when he's down and out, and he's the underdog. When you're the number one pick in a draft overall for a franchise... You're not the underdog. You're no longer the underdog when you lead said franchise to the playoffs in your, third season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you win a playoff game, too. And you just absolutely whoop the living you-know-what out of your arch rival in said playoff game. And you end up being arguably one or two plays away from the conference championship game.
You mean 3 yards? Yeah.
Right. So
what happened? This team was 3 yards away.
Yeah,
from the conference championship, and look where we are right now. We're back to let's worry about the draft. 3 yards.
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately for him, I think that he just had to go through the process that he went through, and that was obviously being traded from the Browns to Carolina. Carolina's a dumpster fire, and then he ends up in Los Angeles and, you know.
Reborn.
Right. Well, he gets really reborn.
One game, reborn.
And now he's got an opportunity to be their franchise quarterback here. And good for him. Like, the issue that I have, is the Joe Flacco thing, because that offense last year was just chef's kiss. It was that is what modern NFL offense looks like. And the offense we're watching right now is just dink and dunk garbage. You know, there was a point in the game where Deshaun Watson, I don't think, had thrown a ball past 10 yards.
They couldn't get to the other side of the field again.
Right. And then again, you know, miss blocking assignments, you miss a touchdown to Amari Cooper, right? Thank you, DeJuan Jones, who, you know, It is what it is. I'm done talking about the guy. And then, you know, just all these other mistakes, missed tackles lead to, part of a 18-yard touchdown run. The run defense, missing tackles, and just getting absolutely gashed by the worst running team in the NFL entering play on Sunday, who, by the way, did not have their top receiver, Davante Adams. They also didn't have Max Crosby. Thank God Max Crosby didn't play today because, I don't know, Deshaun Watson's probably leaving in bubble wrap because he got sacked three times. He got hit 11 more times. This is the fourth straight game he has been hit double-digit times. Andy, this is not sustainable. And yet he still played, with all due respect to the numbers you threw out. Like, this wasn't Deshaun's fault. He played pretty well. He was like 24 of 32, buck 79, touchdown. The pick was not his fault. Okay.
No.
So he played well.
He actually put the ball in some great places and the guys didn't catch it. We saw it all day long. So I'm not done. I'm not ripping Deshaun Watson for this game at all. I just know that people will.
Let him down, Andy. Like,
they did. He got crushed today.
From you're the right. I get it. To the receivers, to the, like, just the guys not lining up correctly. Amari Cooper got an illegal motion penalty that it took a play off the board. Like, just you name it, they're screwing it up, and it's costing. It's why they're 1-3. The lack of attention to detail is staggering. And, you know, I thought that was the whole point of us all having to go to West Virginia to the Greenbrier, right? That's where all this stuff was supposed to be taken care of. They were going to bond. Does this look like a team that's having fun?
They just don't look like a team right now. They're all over. The offense is all over the place. The defense does. I think the defense is okay. But, I mean,
Amari Cooper looks miserable out there.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like he's having a miserable time.
He was driving and running 82 yards for that touchdown. And I thought, okay, good. And then, imagine if that stands and they win what we're feeling right. And that's the margin of error. The other thing is they're chasing that stupid point because they missed the extra point.
And then how about Kevin Stefanski at the end of the first half not kicking the 57-yard field goal? Instead, he goes for the punt because he's living in his fears at that point. And again, like, if you're going to be an aggressive head coach, be an aggressive head coach. Be consistent with it. You know what I'm saying? If he misses the kick and it blows up in your face, you took a shot. Your guy has made, at the time, he had made 11 of 12 from 50-plus. He already hit a 50-plus yard bomb. Last year, I think, didn't he have a game where he hit like three 50-plus yards?
He was on a roll. It was on a huge roll, yeah.
So you got to – sometimes you just got to trust your guys. I know he missed the PAT, and that really – screwed him at
the end. You're chasing the point. You chased the point at the
end. They couldn't kick that field goal. They had to go for it on 4th-and-3 there, and then Watson gets sacked on the 4th-and-3 because the protection breaks down again. Like, I mean, there's only so much. Like, I think that we have to, and I was thinking about this today too, even before the game, because I was real tough on Deshaun before the game because I kept saying, hey, this is the day he's got to start playing like a $46 million a year quarterback, right? He's got to be Superman. He's got to be the guy that puts the team on his shoulders, elevates everybody, and wins them the game, right? Well, the facts are the last 2 weeks, 5 drives, okay? Mm-hmm. The Browns defense got the offense 5 possessions in the final quarter down the stretch to go win 2 football games, and the Browns went 0 for 5. The offense went 0 for 5. Now, is that necessarily fair to Deshaun? No, because of all the extenuating circumstances that we've talked about with his teammates letting him down. But, like, this is what bad football teams do, Andy. And I think that we're learning in the first quarter of the season – the Cleveland Browns are a bad football team. They've got talent. They have talented players, but they are a bad football team. And I saw you roll your eyes at me.
No, I'm not really rolling my eyes at you. I'm just like, if they're a bad football team and they have talent, that's just because you said that, then to me, that's correctable, and that's coaching. The way you described it, if you think they have talent and they're a bad team, that's on coaching. I'm sorry. There's no other way to look at it.
I mean, look.
Someone's got to be able to get the most out. Someone's got to be able to squeeze the blood out of the rock on this thing.
And look, I know I went hard at the offensive line earlier here in the pod, but, like, I just – the standard's the standard. okay? I'm holding them to the standard that Bill Callahan established here. It's mostly the same cast, right? Zach Zinter's the new guy, but Nick Harris was here last year. DeJuan Jones.
I'm just thinking back that Zach didn't have a horrible game. Zach didn't do anything.
No, he was all right. But he, you know, the right side just, you know, I don't understand why Kevin.
I wasn't watching him with the scrutiny of the offensive line. I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. So.
Well, they got their ass kicked on Sunday.
Yeah, oh, no, I know that, especially on big plays. The back-to-back sacks. And
this is becoming a theme. Right. Yeah. And so, but the standard's the standard, right? You can say, Daryl, they have injuries. They're putting backups out there. You know, 3-4 starters are missing. Listen, Bill Callahan didn't have a problem with that. In fact, that's where they thrived anytime they had to juggle and make adjustments. Guys went in there. Joe Flacco came off the bench today and threw 2 touchdowns for the Indianapolis Colts. Okay. So the standard is the standard. And I'm going to hold them to that. The standard for this team is you are a playoff team. So when you fumble away, and I'm keeping it PG here because Tiger really wasn't on the page right now. But like when you fumble away a winnable game like this was for you Sunday in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You give that one away. You give last week's game away. It's frustrating. You can't do that. And again, this is the easy part of the schedule. The football gods smiled upon you, took their best receiver away, took their pass rusher away to give your quarterback. Like, and you still can't win the game because guys can't make the plays that they're supposed to make. And that's why I say they have talent. They're just a bad football team. Key word, team. They don't play like a team. They don't look like a team. They don't act like a team. They don't the body language doesn't fit in the team. It's disappointing because again, this is going to now, I believe, be a flushed season. I don't think they're coming back from this, Andy. I really don't. Now, the most Browns thing ever would be them to go beat the Washington Commanders next weekend against the hottest quarterback in the NFL. Right. I don't really see that happening, but I just they're 1-3. And the numbers say since 1990, teams that are 1-3 have a 14% chance of making the playoffs. And they have not played. I had to double check the schedule here real quick. They have not played a single AFC North game yet. And that's.
They will on the other side of this on the road for 2 more weeks. So maybe that might be the best thing too, because they probably don't want to see their fans and the fans kind of don't want to see them. They want to probably give them a chance to win on the road.
Right. They can go 3-for-3 and getting booed in their home stadium again. Right. I mean, they were
all right, Daryl.
They're going at home and you know, it is what it is, as a wise man once told me.
All right, Evan O'Brien, your ears are burning as the greatest producer of this show. Thank you very much. Again, we are brought to you by our friends at Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. He's Daryl. I'm Andy. We'll come back on Wednesday. We'll have a little time to settle down. We'll have the 24-hour rule in effect. And maybe we get some good news from Nick Chubb. I'm looking for something positive to end this thing on. Nick Chubb, hopefully coming off the IR as early as tomorrow, maybe today if you're listening to it, on Monday. And then they've got a 21-day practice window with him. So we'll see.
I think on Wednesday, Andy.
You think they'll do it?
They want to stretch that 21-day window there.
Okay.
So if you do it on Wednesday, that buys you an extra 48 hours or so, which could be important.
There you go. Good baseball move right there. He's Daryl. I'm Andy. It's always game day in Cleveland.